Good morning, everybody on the south and north side this morning. Great to be with you guys. Thanks for being here. Well, we come in our series, Small Things, Big Difference, to week number three. Last week, I was participating in dedications over on the north side of the street, and there were four families that had come. And as those little ones came, I was so taken with that there just has to be a God. The remarkable, the intricacy of those little lives as we dedicated them. And I thought of the psalmist says in Psalm 139, he says, I praise you, Lord, because I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. You are an amazing creation. You are a wondrous, amazing creation. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. Nobody said, as they came to the tail end of 2016, anticipating the new year that was before them, nobody said, this year, my goals are, in the next 12 months, I'm going to destroy my health. I'm planning on gaining at least 35 pounds. I think I can do 50, but at least the bar, 35 will be the minimum. I don't currently smoke, but I'm going to start so that at least a pack a day by the end of the year is what I hope to accomplish. And I'm going to increase the high-fat intake in my life. Everything will be wrapped in bacon this year. And I'm going to really notch up the stress and get as little sleep as possible. So that when it comes to December 31st of 2017, I can look back and say with great pride, I absolutely destroyed my health. Now we laugh because the idea is absurd. There's not a one of us who came to the end of the year who even had the thought. In fact, every single one of us thought the thought, if we didn't state it to somebody with a resolution, this year I want to take some ground and I want to move the needle towards healthier in my life. Now, why did you think those thoughts? Well, it's because you are made in the likeness of and the image of Creator God, who to him, bodies are a really big deal. Now, why do we even have to say that? It would seem obvious. But to be truthful, it really isn't, because there has existed for a long time a certain false separation or dichotomy when it comes to theology. And here's what it is. It is that somehow if we have spiritual conversations, they belong in the church, and we can talk about spirit and soul. But if we're going to talk about bodies, that is unimportant in the spiritual conversation, and that really belongs at a local hospital, a class there, or at the local gym. But in reality, nothing could be further from the truth, because God looks at you as a whole person, a whole integrated person. We are not just spirit and soul, but we are also bodies, and all three of them are equally important to God. He created your body. In fact, the biblical record tells us, we pass by it, we sort of assume it and take it for granted. But God created the first beings, breathed his life into them, of which they came alive. And God said, what? I mean, it was like the apex of creation was the creation of mankind. And God said, you know, that's an amazing job, if I don't say so myself. God sent his Son into the world and put him in a body. The Christmas story. I mean, could anything give greater dignity to human bodies than that? When God spelled out the rules for the human race and how it should conduct itself, many of those rules were specific to how bodies should be treated. They are to be respected. They are to be protected. And they are never to be subject to violence, abuse, or mistreatment. It's why it leads then the Apostle Paul in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians, it's in your bulletins, says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You don't belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So then, here's the climax of that. You must, the only reasonable response is that you would honor God with your body. When we die, all who are in Christ will experience the hope of the resurrection. And in that resurrection, we're going to get 2.0 bodies. I can't wait. We're going to get glorified, fully redeemed, new bodies. But it will be your body that will be resurrected. Part of what it means for you to honor God in your faith looks like that you honor Him with your body. So we're going to be just painfully specific and practical this week. I have 5 points of encouragement because I don't want anybody to be discouraged by these words this morning. But I hope the 5 things that we can encourage each other this morning and in the weeks and in the year before us. All right, how to honor God with your body. 5 things. Here we go. First of all of us, and this body got a little sick this week, all of us make a fresh commitment to healthy eating patterns this year. Now, the research is in. You are what you eat. Right? You are what you eat. I have a friend in my history, and he was not a Christian, would not have called himself a regular part of the CA community. But when he did come to church, he would come here. And he and I, the Lord really put us in each other's lives. He was a guy of power and means, and he had very few people who just really talked turkey with him. And I had no skin in the game. There was nothing in it for me. So I found a real place in his life. One day he called me. He said, I want to show you my new toy. So he says, I'm coming by. And so about a half hour later, he shows up in a brand new Chevrolet Corvette. And this thing was unbelievable. Cams and Hemis and wads and quads and whatever. I am the car guy, as you can tell. And this thing was, he didn't buy it off the showroom floor. He had this thing special ordered. It had every bell and whistle you could imagine. So he said, hop in. We got in this car. And I mean, this thing was an amazing machine. It was unbelievable. I mean, he barely touched the gas pedal and you could feel yourself push back into the seat because of the power of the engine. So he said, look, you're the first one. I wanted to share it with you. And I've got a 1-hour appointment. If you've got the time, drop me off and you can take the car, take it for an hour. And Jesus loves me, I said. So I dropped him off and he said to me though, he said, look, I need gas. But he said, what you have to know, and it was like he was lecturing, this machine can only take the highest grade fuel. It would be unthinkable to put low-grade fuel, it would damage it, into a machine like this. Well, look, do I need to apply the illustration? We all get it. If you are a Christian, you understand with clarity that you don't own your body. You are merely a steward. You are a manager of that body. You have been bought, the scripture says, with the highest price ever paid. And one of the ways that you live out your faith and honor God is by putting high-grade fuel in your remarkable engine. So look, we all know the mantra, lower the fat intake, eat more fruits and veggies, eat more grains, eat more fish, and my favorite is legumes. What the heck are legumes? Eat more beans, that's what it means. And if you will stick with that decision, several health rewards will come your way. First of all, for those who bounce up and down, you'll be able to sustain and maintain weight more effectively. And for those who need to and want to, weight reduction will happen. Obesity has now become the number one health concern in America. I read so many reports from great Duke University, all over the place, that the statistics are really staggering. Number one health concern in America. 65% of American adults are significantly overweight, and one-third of the entire U.S. population is officially obese. Why do people overeat? I don't know, because I am one of those people, and I have shared this for many years. Those of you who are newer may not know this. I have struggled my entire adult life with this issue, and I don't mean struggled with it. My high was just shy of 300. I weighed, and this morning I was about at 186 is where I've weighed. And so this is a dogfight for me every single day of my life. Every single day. Why is it that I have processed so much of my adult life emotionally through food? I don't know. I really don't get it. I don't understand. But what I did come to understand is that God made me to not be ruled by anything but Him. That much is clear to me. I am to be the slave of no one else but the person of Jesus Christ. And the kindness of God with the encouragement and help, I fight, I lose, and I win, and I keep fighting. But I'm not going to get out of the game. Now, some of you, I've got a friend who is long and lean. Some of you, your gene pool, you have no idea how fortunate you are. You are long and you are lean. And then the rest of us, we are short and we are wide. And I want to just speak just for a moment on behalf of all of us who are short and wide to those of you who are long and lean. We hate your guts. And we do so in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen from the short and wide? All the short and wide. Look, just understand, all of you who are blessed with the long and lean, some of us, it's a very complex issue, and we don't understand it. There are bands, there are groups of people that fight this issue and fight it together in the life of our church, and I encourage you this year to fight on. Adult obesity has doubled in the last 20 years. Adolescent obesity has quadrupled. The consequences are far more than your genes are a little bit tighter. But heart disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, strokes, some forms of cancer are related to obesity. So can you see how utterly spiritual is this conversation? This is not just a serious health issue. It is a serious spiritual issue as well. So when you make the choice to honor God with your body by eating healthy foods, you are making a fantastic life decision. And a word to every parent who has small kids, your kids will never choose what is best for them. They will always choose chips and soda and pizza and fries and all the rest. You must step in and help them. And I know you will, they'll tear your picture up. I know it. I had it happen. But that's okay. You draw a line in the sand and you choose for them. So we encourage each other in that to put high-grade fuel in the engine this year. Second thing to encourage all of us on is exercise. Next to what you put in your body, exercise is the best wellness choice that you can make. And here's the research, and I'm going to let you read it with me. It's on the side screens, both north and south. So everybody reading, exercise increases energy levels, elevates metabolism rates, improves blood circulation, strengthens muscles and bones, decreases blood pressure, reduces stress, increases efficiency of the digestion system, develops aerobic capacity, improves sleep, and increases sexuality. Yeah, baby. Did I say that? Did I say that? The Holy Spirit, I couldn't help it. But. Now look, we read this statement, and look, every single one of us says, I'm all in theory. I like the idea, but how many times I've had people say to me, Mark, I have made that commitment January 2nd of every year for as long as I can remember, but I can't get it done. For some reason, I just fail again and again, and I can't seem to stick with it. So I want to give you, hopefully, some encouraging suggestions on this one, all right? Number one, get a partner, and get a real mean one, okay? Ecclesiastes is so right. Listen, two is better than one. You are not created to do life alone. Two are better than one, and three are better than two. So look, I can't, no one else can figure this out for you. You can pout about it, I don't have it. Well, get after it this year. Pray about it, look, search, work, try. But don't throw in the towel. Get a partner. Get some people in your life who will say, look, I'll help you, and you help me do what we both want to do. And then secondly, choose exercise that you enjoy. How many of you love to run? Yeah, you're freaks. We love you, but you're freaks. And so many people, it's like they think if they don't run, somehow they're not exercising. You've got to find something that works for you. At the gym that I go to, they have all kinds of classes. I mean, just an unbelievable amount of things that you can get involved in. And if you'll find what you like, you'll be able to sustain that with greater regularity. Thirdly, schedule physical activity at the time of the day that best suits your schedule. Look, this is just my reality. If it does not get on my calendar, It always falls off the calendar. It's got to get scheduled. It has to be as important as any other thing that I put on my calendar. So get it on your calendar. And fourthly, practice the something is better than nothing principle. If you miss a day, don't throw in the towel. How easy it is to get discouraged. We set this bar of perfection. I've already noticed at my gym from January 1st, there is a significant decline just three weeks into the new year. Well, I missed a couple of days. Well, that's okay. You don't have to wait until January 2018 to start over again. Something is better than nothing. So take the stairs rather than the elevator. If you don't have time for a long walk, go on a short walk. Whatever it is, some of you have this wired, and some of us have got some room to take, but I encourage you wherever you're at in that. Thirdly, physical wellness has to do with rest patterns. Sleep deprivation in the U.S. is at staggering epidemic proportions. Now, those who study in this field, in fact, it's really interesting to read about it, why that is true. They say that there are several major contributing factors. One is the advent of all-night television. Now, I'm old enough, some of you are old enough to remember. You remember at 12 o'clock, and there was only like 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, and 13. That's all we had. And you, to change channels, you had to get up and fix the rabbit ears. How many of you remember? But at 12 o'clock, there was like this eye that came on and this monotone, annoying sound. You wouldn't even want your TV on. And that eye was really just saying, get a clue, go to bed. But what's happened is with cable television and all, we've got hundreds of channels. And you can sort of, you can get addicted to just watching TV and doing so at your own, jeopardizing your own sleep patterns. They tell us also that the coming of the web, the World Wide Web, the Internet, we can be connected to the whole world at any moment. So there's the sense that I'm missing something, I've got to be a part. And the third significant contributor is home offices. It used to be that we went to work, we left the office, and we left work there, but no longer. Those are those lines are blurred, and so now you can work 24/7. Trivia question: who do you think is more sleep deprived, men or women? What would you guess? Women. And if you said women, you are right. Women, and there are lots of reasons for that, by the way. There are some physical reasons, but there's one of the main ones is that women are now in the workforce equal to men, and women can still assume a primary responsibility for a home and the care of children. 17% of Americans, listen to this. In fact, the studies that I was reading this past week, I chose the lowest number. Some of them were double this, but they say at least 17% of Americans have fallen asleep at the wheel in the last 12 months, resulting in 40,000 injuries and 1,500 deaths. And how many of you, listen, I've done this so many times, driving to Oregon 14 hours, and just all of a sudden you nod, it can be so unbelievably dangerous. Sleep deprivation causes premature aging and a greater risk of ulcers, obesity, and other health risks. And no wonder our great, gracious, and kind God speaks to this work-rest rhythm in His Word. It calls for 1 in 7 days to have no work and rest only. It's called the Sabbath. And the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. God speaks to a workaholic world. And that world, by the way, we get so much of our identity from what we do. And I think that's, but, and the Sabbath, by the way, is not a day. We so get confused. We start denominations over what day it is. It is not a day. It is a principle that God is asking us to honor. Lots of research has gone on in the last 25 years in this field. The average sleep requirement, by the way, those of us who boast that I only need 4 or 5 hours of sleep, you're killing yourself. They say the average adult needs 8 hours, and the kicker, this is the one that's hard for me, they say the two most important hours are the ones before midnight. We got some work to do on that one. 8 hours of sleep and two of them before midnight. A couple of tips on this. You all know, avoid high caffeine and sugary foods. late in the evening. Secondly, avoid eating big late at night. Thirdly, establish a regular time that you'll try to get to bed. And fourth, and the most effective technique that is right out of the Journal of the American Medical Association, is get any one of my sermons and about 9:50, put me on, and by 10 o'clock, you'll be in a coma, all right? It'll be lights out, baby, I promise you. So, number four, commit to reducing stress levels in your lives. Only you can do this, you and you alone. Stress not only deteriorates bodies, it destroys lives and families. And stress has a twin, which is anger. You watch people get under stress and they get angry. In fact, it's why it's dangerous to operate a car anymore. There was just grieve me prior to Christmas. A young woman had her 4-year-old daughter in the back seat of her car. Unknowingly, she made a right-hand turn and cut a guy off. Didn't even know that she had done it. The guy pulls up beside her, pulls out a pistol, shoots in the car, killing the mother, leaving that little... I just thought, what kind of insane, stressed out, raging kind of culture do we live in? And people are popping more pills than ever, ever. Drinking, consuming more alcohol just to cope with the stress in their life. Now, here's how God designed you and I to work. You in life, and we all face challenges. That's a part of life. We get a deadline. We get a quota. And as you face this challenge, there comes this incline of energy output. You will experience that, and it creates stress. That stress is a positive stress. You find that you dig more deeply. You call things out of yourself that you normally wouldn't. You think more crisply. Creativity rises and faith increases as you look to God and you call on Him as you pray. But once you achieve that challenge, there needs to be a backside time to recoup. The stress level lowers until the next challenge comes, and you repeat this rhythm over and over again. What destroys lives and bodies is that we only live on the uphill climb, and we think that's normal. That's why God was so kind in the scriptures to say, listen, do not forget the Sabbath day and keep it holy. A guy who is a hero to me, he came and wanted to talk about a really remarkable job promotion. He's in a very high-stress, high-pressure industry, and he's already working 40, 45, 50 hours a week. He's a newly married. They've got a couple of young kids. And so he said, look, I got an amazing promotion that was offered to me, and I got to decide what to do. So as we talked that through, he said the baseline now that they want for this new promotion is 65 hours a week. He said that is the minimum of what I will have to give. And none of those are on the backside of recovery. They are all constantly climbing the hill. So we just talked that through, and I prayed with him. I just said, look, I would never tell you what to do, but God will give you wisdom. That guy came back, and he did not take the promotion because he knew what that would cost with his wife, with his kids, and on his own life. And I thought, man, there are so few. We just think every promotion, that's the one, and that's the one. But oftentimes we do so at such a cost. So I just want to encourage you. Think those things through carefully. And fifth and finally, and Tommy and Jacob, if you guys will come, all of us need regular physical checkups. If only every one of us was an airplane. I have a friend who retired 2 years ago, and he bought a new plane. He's taken lessons forever. He travels quite a bit. This is also a part of his business move, but he bought a plane. And so he wanted me to go see his plane. And then he said, look, I'll fly you up to Santa Barbara, off whatever. And I said, no, I'm not flying with you. There is no way. That'll be the last breath I ever take. You won't check the oil. So I know nothing about flying. And as we talked about it, he said, Mark, I have federal regulations as to when this plane is serviced. He said, if I don't service this plane, if I'm caught not servicing it, the FAA will come in and ground this plane, and I will have heavy, heavy fines. I just recently had flown from Portland to Burbank, and we were all on the plane waiting to depart. Captain came on and he said, look, the ground crew has found something. We don't think it's big, but it's big enough that we don't think we should fly. So we waited. Finally, we had to deplane the plane, and people were they were just incensed. And I said to a couple of them, I said, listen, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Who knows what one little thing could turn into a big thing and lives could be spared. A physical will take 3 hours out of your new year. 3 hours. Don't be stupid. Don't be stubborn. And don't be proud. Especially guys, to all the men. Well, I'm afraid they're going to find something. And that's the point. That's the point. Statistically, somebody here this morning, north or south, there's some health issue that you're not even aware of. And if you catch it now, it's treatable. But you let it 2 or 3 years go by and it can be an entirely different story. If only we were all airplanes. By law, we would all have to go in for inspections, and disasters could be spared. Well, you're not an airplane, but let me tell you, you are the custom designed creation of Almighty God, who loves you so much and has given His only Son to redeem the whole of your life, spirit, soul, and body. And one last word to parents. Parents, kids can't do this for themselves. Get them regularly to the dentist for their checkups, and get them regularly to their doctor, their pediatrician, for their checkups. Lastly, if there's anybody, north or south, anybody here this morning, I had several people who came to talk with me. I don't say this in any moral, condemning way at all. I want you to know that. Not for a second. But if anybody in our community, if you smoke, listen, it is clear what that does to your health. We encourage you. It is a beast to wrestle down, but you can wrestle that beast down this year. So I'd like for us to be a smoke-free zone. And if I could be an encouragement to anybody who smokes, I'd personally love to just partner with you and see that come to an end this year. What a remarkable machine you are, made in the image of God. The only sane response is to honor God, the God who purchased you at such an extreme price. Let your faith be lived out as you honor God this year with your body. Small things, big difference. Let's sing together.